Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA Choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Big Brett.
Yes, sir.
How are you, buddy? Have a seat.
I thank you.
Thank you, buddy. It's crazy. You hit me up and you're like, I want to do the pod.
Yeah, you know, if folks don't know, you and I have worked together before.
We have a lot of history before.
We do, yes.
Is this for me?
That is for you.
Dude, this is so nice. What is this?
That is what they call a blockhead. Instead of Funko Pops, which you've signed, I'm sure, a bunch of Funko Pops.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Canada that makes these.
Okay.
It's like a 3D dimensional, and in honor of my kill I do in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with the sledgehammer he made, and that's the guy, Eric Balfour. I don't know if you've ever worked with him. That's Eric Balfour's face. It gets ripped off of him, and...
When was this, 2003?
We filmed it in 2002. It came out in 2003. Jessica Biel, Lee Ermey, you know, from Full Metal Jacket, the crazy drill sergeant.
Your legend. God bless his soul.
Yes, God bless his soul. So,
dude, so wait a minute. So we worked together, but I worked with you way before all that.
Yeah. We've.
By the way, hair's looking tight.
Thank you, brother.
Is this new?
I had it. It was just growing out and... I got a convention coming up, and I said, why not? I got no movies in the... No one's going to worry about a mohawk, so...
Okay, so we worked together on my show, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Yeah, man.
Was that the first time we ever worked together?
That was the first time we ever worked together. And I'm sure we probably ran into each other a couple of the bars or clubs that I used to work.
I know you before as a bouncer or as a...
I was a bouncer, yeah.
I knew you more, I think, as a bouncer, and then you became an actor?
I started acting when I was 21. I didn't really get any work, but I, you know, was going through the audition parts and working every bar in Hollywood and other places. And, you probably came into some of the places, Three of Clubs or Jones.
What year were you bouncing at those places?
Oh, my gosh. I was bouncing in probably 90 at some of those places.
Too early for me.
Too early?
Till when?
Till 10 years. Early 2000s.
So, yeah, I mean...
I was still there. I
definitely started going out in 96.
Yeah. So I was working all those places.
Because I remember... I'm pretty sure I recognized you as a bouncer... And then you came in and did my show.
Yeah, I was very lucky. We did two episodes of the Jamie Kennedy Experiment, which was great.
Well, we did one, which was yoga.
The yoga one was, if you ever get to see that clip.
Yeah.
If you ever get to see it, because I know you've run some clips of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt bad for some of these yoga people because they flipped out.
Yeah.
When two giant men come in.
Yeah.
Come in and start yelling at you, and you're having fun with us, and then they pick you up. My partner picks you up, I believe, and throws you across the room. These people flipped out.
What's up, bro? What's up, bro?
Get up! Get up! Christoph, get up!
Breathe! Stop!
Breathe!
Speed! Breathe!
Yeah, we did a bit where it was yoga. I'll probably put it in here because I love yoga. I was taking a ton of it.
Yeah.
And so it was basically like a teacher is a little bit pervy, and then he's supposed to be the most calm guy ever.
Yes.
And then there's all these construction guys out there making all this noise, and then I go crazy on them.
Hold on, please.
Shut the up!
I'm trying to relax. Please. Breath in, please.
And then they come in and they're like, what the... The other guy was before, it was my early Terry Crews.
I can't think of his name,
but I love you. I want to have him
on. He's a good guy.
Great guy.
He's done a lot of acting work, too. He's done a lot of work.
He was pre-Terry.
100%
pre-Terry. And he was another football head.
Yo, man, which one of you
Keep breathing, remain calm.
I'm gonna count to three.
Just keep breathing.
I want somebody to tell me who shouted when I get to three. One.
Hey, someone say something, all right, please.
I believe he was an ex-football player. Big dude. Terry Crews is big. This guy was
bigger.
Bigger.
He did a few with me. What was the other one we did?
Then we did the, it was like your.
You want to take your jacket off? You can.
Steve Wilkos. I was like.
Steve Wilkos. Yes. We were doing his Jerry Springer type
shock.
Of show.
Shock therapy.
Oh, the shocker. I got one of the biggest arguments ever with my executive producer that day. The shocker.
That was a great one.
That was so intense. But basically, it was a game show. And if you got the question wrong.
You get shocked.
You get shocked.
Correct. Shocker!
When I grew up, and I'm 50, I just turned 57. So when I grew up, you had candid camera.
Yeah.
But past that, there was nothing until you came along.
Wow, that's a compliment.
Well, there was a little thing. But your thing was good.
Totally hidden video.
And... yeah, some of that stuff was good. But you were the first guy to use the comedy and all that other stuff. One of the greatest, and I'm not trying to toot your horn, but I will.
I would like
the
my
dookie
horn.
In the pool. The lifeguard thing is one of the greatest bits ever.
Thank you, buddy.
Come on, dude.
Thank you, buddy.
That's one of the greatest bits ever. And the yoga thing.
It was a beautiful time. I did the show because I auditioned for SNL twice and I didn't get it. And so I was an actor getting acting work, but it was just, you know, nice parts, but I wasn't being able to do accents and different things yet. So I like had these characters from my stand-up, and that's I created the show with the other guys from Mad TV and Mike Carr is another great producer, and we all came up together and said, "What's the show?" And it was like a sketch show that's taking place in live to push people's limits to see where their morality is. It's much deeper than just pranks and
art. It is. It's 100%.
And we did the shocker. God, that was so crazy. You were like the crypt keeper on that. Or you were like the guy that shocked everyone.
You know, I don't know how many years ago that was. So
20, 22.
So
it was a great one. I think we shot it over in Sony.
I would have to watch it again and tell you.
I don't know
if I was Steve Wilkos or if I was shocking folks or if I was throwing the switch. I don't.
But wait, go back to diabetes. You're okay. Yeah. You didn't sip any coffee.
No, we're good. I've been.
Can you eat a piece of cake?
I mean, I can.
But what happens?
Well, it just depends if my numbers are low enough or if I got insulin handy.
Okay, good.
I mean, what happens is, you know, your blood sugar skyrockets. It's better to have the high blood pressure. I mean, the high blood sugar than have it low.
Okay.
So I'm 6 months into the insulin and I've been a big guy my whole life, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you look like you dropped.
I have dropped some weight. I have to. You know, once you get past 50, double nickel.
Yeah.
You got to lose the.
Dude, you look like you dropped since the last time I saw you.
I probably have. I probably dropped 25 pounds since.
Look good for you.
Scarefest.
Yeah, incredible.
Kentucky. Folks, if you've never been to Scarefest, one of the premier.
I love that you're addressing the crowd.
Thank you. Yes, one of the. I get used to it from hosting stuff. You know, you get used to, talking to the camera.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I learned from pro wrestling.
Were you a wrestler?
I was a wrestling manager.
For who? Where?
Ultimate Pro Wrestling. It was the minor leagues for the WWF. We were like single. John Cena, Samoa Joe.
All came out?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, where was it based at?
Huntington Beach, California.
Really? You're a California kid.
I am. North the Valley. San Fernando Valley.
Respect. 818.
Tattooed right here.
8-1 great.
8-1 great. Oh, that's
good. Come on, bro.
Boy, I might have to make a hat.
Bro, I love the Valley.
The Valley. I saw a cool, someone came to a convention I was at and they had he's an actor and I can't think of his name right now, but he had The Valley. And I was like, oh, I like that hat. I said, is that the San Fernando? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
I'm proud of The Valley, man. There's a lot of good, growing up in The Valley was a good time when I was growing up. You know, I was born in 67 and I think I moved to Northridge, California in like 71.
Bro, the innocence of the Valley. Man.
Oh my God!
It was like BMX.
Oh gosh, come on!
It was arcades.
Ah, family. My first gig, Family Fun Arcade, Devonshire and Balboa.
Wow, how old?
15.
Wow, doing like the quarters?
Yeah, I was spending money there, and the guy said, I was a big kid. He goes, you want to work? And I'm like, what does that mean? He said, you get to play, I'll pay you, and you get to play any game you want when we got time. And I'm like, I'm in.
Wow. So you've been big your whole life?
Yeah, tall. I've been tall. I started getting big like at 16 years old, and then I couldn't stop getting big.
Were you football?
Yeah, football, basketball, baseball, until I got too big to do the basketball. And then in baseball, you know, when you're 330 pounds, it's not the...
It's hard to make it.
You better hit a home run or you, because, you know, running bases is not good, so...
But what about football?
Football I played, and I played a little semi-pro football as well.
And then you were... The wrestling company is called what?
Ultimate Pro Wrestling, UPW. They're not around anymore. But I was having a midlife crisis at about 30, and I always liked... I've always tried to do everything like you do. I mean, I've tried to do everything, whether it's, you know, trying to do some comedy, trying to do a radio show, trying to do hosting stuff. It didn't matter. And I was having a midlife crisis, wasn't getting a lot of acting work at the time, and I was still bouncing at bars, which I was miserable doing at the time. And I said, you know what? I like pro wrestling. And I had a friend of mine, Rick Drazen, who was a pro wrestler, used to train with Arnold. In fact, designed, he's no longer with us, but he designed the Gold's Gym symbol. That whole goal, yeah, he did that.
Really?
Yeah. So he was a good guy, and he was still doing pro wrestling. And I said, Rick, let me manage you. Because I loved, you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan. I loved all these guys. And I was like, there's got to be a room for a guy like me, even though I'm giant.
Yeah.
And I knew I could do the manager stuff, and I did it. And I was doing, at the time, I was making money doing Monster Garage, the voices for that on Discovery Channel. So I said, you don't need to pay me. I want to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. doing an open mic night. You ain't getting paid, but you're working.
It's amazing.
You're honing your craft. So
wait, let me ask you this. So you came in here and you're rep. What's the Scream shirt you're repping?
Oh, come on, man. Be Kind, Rewind.
I never saw that one. Now you sent me, it's amazing. There's so much paraphernalia now.
There is.
Okay, before I go into, I want to stay on JKX. You sent me a message. I didn't play it yet. Should I play it?
Oh, no, I was just telling you I'm downstairs.
No, we're good. I thought that was an experience. I thought that was a message from back in the day.
No.
Okay.
No, you know, Lee Waddell's a good friend of mine.
Yes.
We've actually done a few movies. Lee's the original Ghostface killer.
The original, yes.
The first stunt guy to get in there and do it. And now Lee is retired, but we've done a few movies together, so.
Yes.
Lee's got the acting bug. I don't know if that's good or bad for me.
No, there's enough room for everybody.
There is. There's plenty of room.
How? So, wait, let's talk about this. So.
Yeah.
You did my show.
Yeah.
And then you got cast as Leatherface. That's why this is here. So, I love that you brought this.
So, the deal about Leatherface was I was starting to get some acting work. I was still doing some pro wrestling at the time. And I saw that they were going to hire a local hire. I'm like, God, you're going to waste this. And when they hire local hires in some places, a big guy playing Leatherface, they're going to go hire some ex-Dallas Cowboy football player who blew his knee out, or they're going to hire some bouncer at a club, which I'm not opposed to, but they're just going to hire some guy. And I'm like, you don't want to waste a role of Leatherface on some local hire in Texas. And I went into a commercial audition one time, and I saw TCM. So, you know, when you go into the rooms and it's Ford in room one, that's, you know, Taco Bell in room two, and said room four, like TCM. And I called my commercial agent and I said, hey, see if that's for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. See if they haven't cast Leatherface yet. Ask her if I can go be put on tape. I had booked a commercial with that casting director before. She said, yeah, come in tomorrow. So immediately I go to the Salvation Army, because that's where you get a big giant suit for nothing. For cheap. So I went and got this suit. I was 350 pounds. I was giant.
What are you now?
I'm 295.
You dropped.
Yeah.
What do you want to get down to?
I'd like to get down to 260.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. So I went in. She said, what do you want to do? I said, just roll the camera. And I poured my heart out to Michael Bay. I said, Michael Bay, don't waste this role on some jabroni. That's a wrestling term. Mm-hmm. Don't waste this role on some jabroni in Texas. I mean, Leatherface was some big, meaty son of a bitch. And, you know, and can we say that? Sorry.
You can say whatever you want.
All right. And before I said a couple things, and then there was a girl working the camera, and I picked her up, and I threw her over my shoulder, and she squealed, and I said, I'll see you in Texas. And then I walked off camera. And then the next day, the casting lady called me and said, Michael Bay thought you were funny. You got the gig.
No.
Yes.
That's how you got Leatherface?
That's how I got the gig.
And what year was this?
2002 is when I auditioned.
And you
shot it in 2002, I think, in July or August. I took a chance. See, and you know this, right? Because you've done this to the ultimate level. In Hollywood, if you don't, you got to take a chance. Because otherwise, I look like everybody. In my roles, for the character guys, for the big meaty son of a, you know, the bikers, the convicts and all that stuff, which I played a lot of, which is fine. I don't mind doing that. But if you don't stand out, you're going to be just one of 50 guys that comes in for it. So I took a chance. I stood out. He thought I was funny, and I got the gig. Now, here's the problem. I called 1,000 people in 10 minutes to say I'm Leatherface. 10 minutes after that, she calls, by the way, don't tell anybody.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so.
So what happened? How'd you get out of that?
I just would call back trying to remember who I called and told them, you know, they're going to give me a different gig. They don't want me to play Leatherface. But it didn't matter.
Wait, hold on. We got to go through this because that's so rare what just happened.
Yeah.
You go in on camera, meet the casting director. Michael Bay was producing, I remember, with Platinum Dooms. And yeah, I want to say Mike Fleiss was producing that too, possibly. But Michael Bay was producing it.
Yep.
It was the reboot, the recharging of the franchise.
Yes.
And you...
Jessica Biel.
Yeah, and it was Jessica's, like she had been in a lot of stuff, but this was like her first... You know, to become an ingenue, you start as a horror girl. And so it was a big breakout for her.
Huge breakout.
And you go in, but... So you talk.
Yeah.
And you pick up the associate or the director?
Oh, no. What do you mean?
The casting director or the casting associate?
It was just the casting director. She was there in the other room.
And you picked her up?
No, I picked the camera girl up.
And how did she feel about it?
She squealed. What are you doing? You know, something like that. Put me down.
Was she freaked out?
Yeah, she was a little freaked out.
I love it.
But look.
23 years ago, this is okay, guys.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Did you catch a charge?
No. See, this I would have today.
Hey, oh, for sure. You breathe.
I'd have been the bad man.
By the
today.
Way, we might want to delete that.
No, we're good. That's good. I don't even know if that girl's still around. Oh. But it was,
You picked her up.
You got to take a chance. And then I said, I'll see. I had her over my shoulder. I turned around to the camera, said, I'll see you in Austin. I'll see you in Texas. That was it.
A couple of things I got to comment. Brilliant.
Yeah.
First of all, you are 100% correct. Brilliant that you have to take a chance. Yeah. And I want to share something with you. But the fact that you put her over your shoulder, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you shouldn't do that today. But it was the character.
It 100% was the character. And she wasn't mad. It wasn't like...
No, she's cool.
She was cool. She just got surprised, which was what I wanted to happen. Anyways, I wanted to get, you know, have her get a little surprise.
In 1994... I'll try to make this quick.
Yeah.
I was living in a garage, and there was a local paper, the Huntington Beach Weekly or something, and they did the entertainment section, and they put me on the cover of it and said, the elf that would be king. And they wrote a whole article about me. I was an up-and-coming comic.
Yeah. Right?
This is my first piece of press. I audition for California Dreams, which is a spinoff of Saved by the Bell. I go in. It's a long story how I got the audition. I lied, all stuff. I get in, and she goes, great. And it was a Friday at like 3 post-lunch. And I said, I walked out, and I walked back in, and I had 4 copies of it. And like one was to my parents, one was for me, one was for some like an agent. And I'm like, this other one, which it was like, they were gold. And I went into the casting director, and I said, listen, I know you can hire anybody for this part. It's only 4 lines. But I'm really need a part, and I think I'm great for it, and I have a future. And I said, please read this article. Thank you very much. And I left her the paper, and she was like, okay. I left. I didn't have an agent. 5:30, I get a call, get my beeper.
Oh, got the beepers, that's right.
I go to the payphone, check my message, call me, assistant call back, Monday, 7 a.m. I got the role. I was like, dude.
Yes, I look at it. I remember.
Top of show. I think it was $1,800, which is 3 months rent back then.
100%.
And it helped me with my SAG. And I was like a piece of tape. And I'm with like Mario Lopez. It's not him, but like the next Mario Lopez.
I remember the show. I think I auditioned for the show.
And then from that casting, It got me two more eps, which then got me, the casting director brought me in for a pilot that didn't go to series. It literally snowballed because this woman gave me a chance, but I also...
You took the chance.
Yes.
You look it. And you see a lot of the people that are famous stars nowadays, and they all have a similar story like that where they took a chance on something. Now, I'm an improv guy, so are you, right?
Yeah, you are.
I've gone in for auditions where... They say, hey, we pay for a writer. Stick with the script. Stick with the dialogue we gave you.
Yeah.
And I got it.
But unless it's an amazing script like Scream, a lot of scripts aren't great.
Yeah. So you got to take a chance.
Yeah.
Look, I'm 57 years old now. Now my gigs that I do, I don't normally have this because they don't have, for this stuff I'm reading. I read for Matlock this year, and I read for a nice court circuit judge. And I was like, I don't know.
That's a good role for you.
It is a good role, but I was like, because I play older now. I'm not as physical as I was. And you can't do that stuff. And I love that. My gig is that I'm funny, or at least I think I'm funny. And right. I can hold a comp. I can take a mic and I can entertain, 60,000 people as I have before at a biker event or whatnot. So. And I've with the pro wrestling, 1,500 people, and you got to go out there and they throw.
All those guys are funny.
You look at why The Rock is so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pro wrestling helped him. He can entertain.
They're all great entertainers.
They can do the Stone Cold. They can Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. All these guys can do that.
Bobby the Brain
was one of the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest. Heel manager of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And just one of the greats in the business. And that's what I saw myself for. But I'll tell you this. So the wrestling, being able to go in front of 1,000 people and make a fool of yourself. Then when I would go in for an audition, Seinfeld, when I'd go in for Seinfeld, you go in there for Jerry Seinfeld, there's Jerry at the end of the table. There's 15 writers. There's producers in there. So there's a room of 25 people at a table. And you come in and the casting director would just go, sit down. Because they're all having a conversation. They may get back to you in 10 minutes. Yeah. Are you ready? And you're like, yeah. And then you read.
Did you go in for Seinfeld?
Oh, 100 times. Never got anything.
But you did.
But I did. But the point was that if I can make 1,500 people boo me, what is 25 people in a room? What is two casting directors and a director in the room? It's nothing.
I agree with you, dude. That's why stand-up is so helpful.
100%.
Because you have, 300 people is enough, but you're doing 3,000. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it was...
so correct.
It's
way more powerful.
And I tell you what, even on these young actors, even if you're not a young actor, but you're still... Get into an improv class, for God's sakes. You learn so much... You get more comfortable. You get comfortable on your feet with doing improv and whatnot. And when you get in there, I can still do the serious guy stuff. But when they see a big guy that's got a little humor to him.
It's true, dude. Who knew that we're going to be talking about this with the big fella?
But that's right, with Leatherface.
I want to go back to Texas, but yeah. I want to, before I say that, is Dave, don't let me forget about Texas Chainsaw, but Dave Bautista. Now, there's somebody.
Holy crap.
That. To me, was like, I don't really know much about him, but my buddy Stu, who's one of the EPs of Dark Side of the Ring.
Okay. I love Dark Side of the Ring. 100%.
You know what I mean? So Tommy Blancha, a couple guys I know in the game, and Batista to me was a big side of beef. I didn't know his character. I'm not a huge Mark, but wrestling is real. It's a work, but it's very real.
100%.
And you know it. The falls are real. The pain is real.
Your life expectancy in wrestling is probably, if you're really doing it, is probably 3 years, 4 years tops.
God.
So when you see guys like my buddy Samoa Joe, who I helped get into our company, which got him to the WWF and other places.
Samoa Joe is past... Superfly? No, is that Snuka?
No, that was Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
He's
but
passed away.
Yeah, was, God bless his soul, but he was before
Samoa Joe.
Oh, was well after.
He inspires Samoa Joe.
No, Samoa Joe was, his family worked at, believe, Disneyland. They did the whole fire dance and stuff.
Okay.
So, they were.
I love the name Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Samoa Joe. And he kept that name forever. And he worked his way up to the WWF. He did ours, and then he went and did whole bunch of independents, you know, wrestled ROH, wrestled TNA, did all this stuff, became so popular that the WWF had to finally sign him. And now he was working with AEW, which is a new company, which is, I mean, they've been around for 5 or 6 years now, and they do well. And now he is Sweet Tooth on Twisted Metal.
Oh, he's on Twisted Metal?
So he is the clown. It's his body.
It's a voice.
He's not the voice. The voice is another guy who's a comedian. Comedic actor.
Is Twisted Metal a cartoon?
No, it was a game. It was a game, and now it's a TV show.
No, it's a big show.
And my buddy Joe is really good. So we're talking about, like, Batista. Batista was a big side of meat.
He was a big side of beef, and he became a huge star, leading man.
His humor is great.
A huge, yeah, hilarious.
Stuber. If you've never, listen, you want to see a real comedian, that's his counterpart in Stuber, and then watch how Batista, obviously, handles that and does his great. Go watch Stuber. Stuber. Okay. And then he's also, you know, he's Galaxy.
Stuber was a movie he did. I remember a couple years ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then what is it, Galaxy?
Guardians of Galaxy.
Yeah.
So. What I'm saying is that was not a traditional. Arnold was our breakout.
Sure.
You know, Sly to me was an actor first before he became action. He's a great writer, a great actor.
Yes.
But Arnold was literally just a physical specimen who became an actor.
Yes, who also
who's amazing, charming. Yeah, he's hilarious. He's charming as hell. He's once in a billion type of mind.
100%. And if you're not watching Tulsa King, I don't know what you're not doing, folks, but...
Who?
Stallone.
Oh, yeah, I got to see
Tulsa
that.
Tulsa King.
I just got to see that. So wait.
So good.
Hold on. So I love that you're doing folks. Folks! So let me go back to this.
Yeah,
so
we're getting off track.
We can talk about whatever. God rest his soul, Toby Hooper.
Yes.
I went to him, I want to say it was the Good Earth on Ventura
Boulevard in Studio City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I meet him there. That's when I was really eating a lot of healthy vegan, which is not so healthy. And we had dinner one night, and because I shot a show with him called Perversions of Science, and it was me and Jason Lee. It was an HBO Tales of the Crypt, but a science fiction version. And we had the best time, and I asked him about, and I don't know if this is true. He told me, he's like, because it was his idea, right? I think he wrote it.
No, I think a guy named, I should know this because I'm part of the franchise. I think Kim Henkel. Toby was the original guy to direct it.
He directed it, but wasn't he? I think he had a. He told me, and I said, how'd you come up with the character or something? Or maybe he had something to add with Leatherface. But then I also heard it was based on true events.
It's based on a guy named Ed Gein, which.
Ed Gein is.
Yeah. He was a Minnesota or Wisconsin. He was killing folks, and I believe this is in the late 50s. And they based it off of him. I think he had some lamps, skin lamps and stuff. And
did he have a chainsaw? I
do not think he had a chainsaw.
So I think
that's the liberties.
I think that Toby did that. And he, when they were developing the movie or he's directing or whatever, I think that he was the reason why, or one of the big reasons why they had a chainsaw. And I said, why'd you come up with that? And he says, I'll try to do his voice. He's like,
well, I go.
I forget how he talks. He's good.
I go to the mall with my mom and my grandma.
Shit, I did such a good impression. This is not right. And he says,
and I see all these people, and I say to myself, how do I get through all these people? Just have a chainsaw.
And like, if you just scream with the chainsaw in the middle of a mall, it would scare a lot of people.
I think if you just started up a chainsaw.
Yeah, that's what he means.
I mean, yeah,
like you would just start it up and scare people.
You know I've been doing a lot of panels.
Impression. You are.
With some of the original. There's a couple guys that are still left from the original. Toby Hooper's no longer with us. And
God rest his soul. Some of the legend.
Cast, legend. Some of the cast is not with us anymore either. But
it came out when?
1974.
It was beyond 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It was beyond. Years, yeah. It came out before Jaws.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah.
1 year before Jaws.
So this is before that. You know, when I was younger, well, 74, I was 7 years old. So I obviously didn't see it in 74, but I was just starting to get into horror, but it was universal horror. It was black and white. It was Dracula. It was Wolfman. Or there were strange Martians, you know, stuff like that. So I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre with that was the first time someone goes, hey, that could be real. And I think people were like, I mean, that's the real first serial killer on TV that could be real.
It was also the first one that, yeah, it was like in 1974. Yeah. Like, it made it feel like it was real. I
and
thought
you know
it was
who
real.
Did that voice is John Larroquette.
Yes! That's crazy.
Come on!
That's crazy history.
He does the opening, that voice you hear, the tales you're about to
hear. That's incredible.
John Larroquette.
Wow. Okay, so wait, so you get cast, because yeah. This is what's the story, so yeah. What happened?
So I spent 2 months, I got 2 months to get in better shape, and we get out there to shoot, and I'm all excited. The only person I know on the cast, I mean, I knew who Eric Balfour was, because he was on 6 Feet Under,
yeah,
and he was a pretty good actor, and obviously Jessica Biel was on another show.
You just hit him with a pretty good. That's not gonna.
Yeah. So, anyways,
just say good actress.
She was a good actress, and I was totally pumped to get there. We were there. I remember watching. We had a couple days before we started shooting. I believe I shot something minor one day, and then the first full day of shooting for me, we're shooting. I kill Eric Balfour with his sledgehammer. I'm dragging him through the house. Now, you got to remember, this is like July or August in Austin. We're in this old mansion. It's still there. They have it. There's black mold everywhere. I'm like, golly, this mask was fine. The costume was, and I have very small forearms, so they kept building up. They had a long sleeve thermal underneath here. I was heating up. So after a couple hours of doing this, I'm starting to heat up. I'm heating up. And then I remember I fell down and I said, hey, I got to get this mask off for a couple minutes. I drank 7 Gatorades outside. And when I stood back up, my back tightened up. I had heat stroke. So once you have heat stroke, your muscles tighten up. It took everything I could to finish that scene and that day because I had to slam. I had to finish dragging him. Someone had a skateboard, right? One of the crew had a skateboard. We put him on a skateboard. It's not that he was heavy. It was just my back is now fried, and I got to drag this guy across the room so they can get some more shots of it. And then I slammed the door, and that door, not that it was too heavy, but with your back out, it was heavy. So I was in so much pain. Now, this is the worst thing, and you have to get over this. A lot of people would not get over this, but... So my memory, yes, now 21 years later, I had a good time and I can say I was Leatherface, you know, in a movie, in a part of the franchise. But that night, you know, when you're the main cast, you all ride together in the van. Yeah. So I'm all leaving in the van. I'm not saying anything. They dropped me off at the hospital.
Why?
Because my back, I got to go.
Did you say that or they just did it?
No, I think I couldn't tell you who said what, but I had to go get some pain pills, some muscle relaxers. They gave me some electrostim. Now, I knew that the guy came and flat out asked me, what's it going to be? I said, probably take a week. You know, this is a $16 million movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to...
You couldn't power through it.
I couldn't... Well, I could have a week later. I was filming in Mexico, but we'll get to that in a second. So I kept calling transportation. You pick anybody up? Nope. Second day, you pick anybody up? Nope. Third day, so I picked up this big, big, giant guy.
So you were off, and you were wondering if they're picking up other faces.
Yeah, so.
No!
Yes. So he goes, yeah. So 20 minutes later, knock at the door. One of the producers from Platinum Dunes, I believe. I can't remember who it was. And he goes, I'm real sorry, man. And I knew.
You got the.
I got, listen, Leatherface for, I mean, I like to say Leatherface for a week.
You got
but
the Hollywood accent.
Really, Leatherface for a day and a half.
So you basically go on set, you have a back issue.
I get heat stroke, which.
You get heat stroke.
Which tore up my back.
It tore your back up.
Tightened all the muscles.
Was it the first day of filming?
First major day for me, yes.
And you go in, they take you to the hospital.
Yep.
You're 2.5 days off set. It's going to be a week. Do you think, all right, you're going to get through it? They can shoot around you.
I thought they could.
You got
not when I find out that they picked up another guy, a big guy. So I knew.
So then a guy comes in. Who is the producer?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Someone from Platinum Dunes, though. But, you know, he just said, when I heard the knock, I knew what was going on.
And your hotel.
Yeah, at the
this hotel. Happens a lot on this pod. This happened to another actor.
Yeah. Omni.
So,
we were at the Omni in Austin. In Austin, yeah.
So you go in, And he says, it ain't going to work.
He just says, you know, sorry.
And you knew.
I knew. Well, I knew when I called and the transpo guy said, I picked up some big loud guy. And I was like, oh, okay. There's no reason that he's going to.
Who was that guy?
His name is Andrew Bonarski, who did a wonderful job. He did a great job.
And how many more? How many more has he done?
He's the only guy to ever do two, because he did. They brought it back. They did the beginning. They called it the prequel with Lou Temple, a good friend of mine, and Arlie Ermey was in it again. And they shot that 3 years later. And so Andrew was the only guy ever to play Leatherface twice. At my expense.
How many have there been made total in the franchise?
Oh my gosh.
Eight, seven?
Probably eight, or maybe eight or nine now.
Okay. Next question. Yeah. So you do this, and you were bummed.
Oh yeah, I didn't talk about it for. I didn't talk. I mean, you know, and I had to go back to Jones, and beg for my job. Now, because
Jones is a great restaurant,
great place to go. But I was, you know, I was like, I just cost myself probably $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to mention 20 years of residuals and everything else. I still get a little residual check from it for my week there. And I cost myself another movie. So I didn't want to talk about it. I had to get rid of anything that said Texas Chainsaw Massacre in my house.
Because it was too painful.
Yeah, it was painful. Because you know what? When you press hard for, and you know this, when you really want something and then you go and you go balls out and then you get something, you're like, damn. Because I wanted to be in horror movies when I was a kid as an actor. I said, I want to be an actor because I want to be in horror movies. Because I love The Twilight Zone. I love The Outer Limits. You know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, my favorite movie, 1978. One of the greatest horror movies, besides Scream, of course, the franchise.
It's amazing.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Dawn of the Dead.
The fanatics.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think people understand.
It's wild. But wait, let's go back to you.
Yeah, sorry.
So you go in.
So I don't talk about it at all, and I get rid of everything. And then, you know, like 15 years later, some magazines, I don't know if it was Fangoria or someone else, a different magazine, that started called me up and said, you played Leatherface, didn't you, for a week or for a scene or a couple scenes? And I was like, yeah, I did. And then they all wanted to talk. Whoa, what happened? What they call you the Lost Leatherface, because not a lot of people didn't know.
You're the Lost. That's a great title.
Yeah, it is. So people called me the Lost. Well, he's the Lost Leatherface because no one ever knew about it. So, you know, over the last five or six years where you and I have been running into each other, it's because people want to, you know, didn't know for 15, 16 years that there was another guy. And as you know, and if you don't know at home, but the horror movie fans are...
It's an incredible manna from heaven.
Yeah, it's these people are so good to us,
mm-hmm.
and they will spend their last dollar on you, even if it's just to come over and say hello to you. It's just it's something that's pretty cool for someone to come over and say, "I loved you in Texas Chainsaw Massacre." And I used to go, "I only do the first kill," you know, because that was I'm just trying to.
So wait, I gotta ask you about this. So yeah. You go in. You do one kill.
One kill.
They keep your kill.
Yeah, they don't. They can't. They're on a budget, so they can't.
And you're telling. So, how did the movie end up doing? The movie ended up making.
That movie is one of the highest grossing horror movies.
What did it make? You know, it made a lot.
Yeah, I mean, in 2003, I think it made.
Yeah.
$120 million or something.
Jesus Christ.
You know.
All right.
It's a big deal. 2003.
So, and your leather, dude. It's a big deal now. Yeah. So, but dude, the fact that you're able to work this, I mean, I thought Lee was a hustler, but you are a hustler.
Yeah. No, I've done some.
You're both hustlers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I've done other horror movies.
No, you've done a lot. But I mean, this is like you kind of branded this. So is your thing the Lost Leatherface?
Yeah.
Did you trademark it?
I do own the website and everything else.
Amazing.
But what it is, it's like
you and Lee.
Yeah, Lee's a great guy. Lee, we love you. But people are such fanatics. You know, listen, there's people
they
that haven't
are.
Been in a movie in 40, 50 years.
100%.
And they may have been in a movie for 3 minutes. They are still viable. They still get booked at these conventions we do, the Comic Cons, and we do this stuff, and they're still there, and they still make people happy.
Bro. I want to talk about the circuit, but like, I'm very fortunate to have the career I've had and still have and the breadth of different things I've done. But like, if I just did two things, if I just did Jay and Silent Bob's where I say the line, There's no boogers in it, sir, from coffee. Or Howard and Kumar, is this your bush? Just those two alone, I did nothing else. I could literally have a table and go, it's the booger bush guy. And I could make fanny packs and all this stuff. And probably eke out a nice living.
Yes.
Like, because sure. It's things that stick within the mind. Forget all the other stuff I've done. It sticks within the craw.
Yes.
Of people. And they gravitate. So that's why if you've done something that resonates with someone, they will come and see you, and they will love you for it. And these cons, which I started in 2012, used to be the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You would see a person that was, you know, he was the third kill in I Spit in Your Grave 2.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow, like, nice.
You know what I mean?
Camille Keaton.
Is that real?
That's the original.
Wow.
I Spit in Your Grave. In fact, I'm doing a show with her in Germany. I'm going to Germany to do Weekend of Horrors.
Wow.
With Camille Keaton.
I think I did that one.
I Spit on Your Grave. Wow. So that's one of those. That's like Last House on the Left.
Yeah, so it's like, but these type of things was like, I remember I did it. I did a con, and it was me, and it was the new star, and I forget her name. God bless her. And it was Serena Vincent, and I think called Blood on the Beach. And then it was like, emerging stars, and then stars of like 70s and 80s, some schlock. And it was all, I mean, not in a bad way schlock, but that's what it was called, sure. Schlock horror.
Yeah.
And it was hidden. Like, we were in like the back room of this hotel in Virginia Beach. And then to see what it has become now, it will be so competitive at these cons because Hollywood is constricting, and you're going to see A-lister soon. I mean,
well, you do see. Listen,
you already see him now.
You see him now. I get surprised sometimes when I go to a show and I go, what's he doing here? That guy's had three different TV series. He's been in 100 movies. What's he doing here?
I mean, can you say no to 250?
No, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, if the money's so good. And it's insane. So it's like, here's my question is, you seem to do a lot. How long have you been doing it?
I've been pushing for 5 years. I've been pushing hard. Last year, I did probably 33 different weekends.
What?
Yeah.
Last year was the most I ever did. It was 16, and that was a ton.
Yes.
30. Now, I do stand-up, so I probably did another 20 weekends of that. But
sure.
Dude, 33
cons? Now, listen, these aren't all giant cons.
No, it's okay.
That's fine. But
always walk with a net positive.
Of course.
Okay.
There's nothing. I never look. I do in-store signings. I do a place called Bernie's in Brownsville, Texas for one day. And people and come
clean
flock
up.
Out and clean up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind doing. I'm going to, you know, sign it. I go to Frank and Sons. You know Frank and Sons? It's like a big indoor mall in the City of Industry. And I put together three Leatherfaces: me, Bob Elmore from Texas Chainsaw Part 2, mm-hmm. and Mark Burnham, who just did the Netflix Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 2022. And we did a three signing. People were coming in. You know, I advertised as much as I could, but over 2 days, I mean, there's 6,000, 7,000 people go through there. So people would come by and go, oh, crap, there's three Leatherfaces
in
here.
A store? Or are you guys
doing it? It's a big indoor mall. So it's like a flea market, but indoor. People have their own booths in there, and they sell Funko Pops, games, toys, anime stuff, and everything else. And before you got to get in, they have a little area, and there was three Leatherfaces lined up.
Wow.
Yeah, so listen. Another cool thing about it, and why I love the masks, and I'll sell the masks.
How much you sell these for?
Well, this is one I use for costume photo op, so it doesn't get sold. But Trick or Treat Studios, they are licensed to put out the 2003 mask. The only thing they had was my mold from the guy that did my thing. So the actual mold that they use for Trick or Treat Studios is from me.
Do I have to pay you? You sign away?
No, but I get I get masks for them. No, I don't sign a waiver. No, but
they give you masks for free.
No, but they've done nice things for me. Monster Palooza, which is a big show in Pasadena. You've been to Monster Palooza before, so
my best 2-day number ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, Monster Palooza is a big show, folks. Pasadena makes you. If you get
there's no cameras here.
I know. I'm sorry. I just it's a habit.
You're not out of a ring, bro.
If you if you
folks,
it's a huge show, Pasadena.
Oh, it's amazing.
And they do Son of Monster Palooza in Burbank, so two shows a year. And Trick or Treat Studios was nice enough because I couldn't get booked. But Trick or Treat Studios says, hey, do you want to sit at our booth? Because they always have a booth. And I was like, I'll sit at your booth. And I had 4 feet. He says, listen, you got 4 feet. That's
so
it.
So do you have an agent?
I work with Sean Clark and try to book myself, yeah.
Okay, so he's your agent?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah.
Okay, but you also do your own thing.
I do my own thing, yeah.
Okay. So you have these, and you've been doing this for only 6 years?
Yeah, about 6 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's good. It's the gift that keeps giving. It's like residual check.
It's
right?
Bigger than it's ever been, correct?
100% bigger than. Well, you listen, so the phenomenon, so this is your big guys at the conventions, you know. Robert Englund, when he goes, is big.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Big. What's his name? Doug Bradley from Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Big. And then you get into the Screamcast. Holy crap.
It's been incredible.
Listen, it's a phenomenon. We go do a show. We did Creep IE in the Inland Empire.
God, it was
incredible. I was in the room where all you guys were, and there was, people were rushing. There'd be 3,000 people in that room, and I had to beg. I said, listen, you got to get me out of this room. No one's going to ever come over to my table because.
Do you feel that when somebody's popular, that it sucks the air from you? Or do you feel that you can get.
If there's not
trickle.
No. If there's not 3,000 people in that room specifically to see you and Skeet,
well, it's more
Matthew.
So yeah, it's more of Matt and Skeet.
Yeah,
but I do good.
You do fine. Yeah, but they So that's a great thing to have at a convention because what it's going to do is it's going to bring a ton of more people in. So as me as playing Leatherface and a couple of the other things I did, yeah, some people may. It was very funny. So Friday night, I asked to be moved, and I got moved. Saturday and Sunday, every morning when that door opened up, there'd be thousands of people running in to go to the room where everybody from Scream was. And I'd say, hey, when you get tired of waiting in line, Leatherface is right here for you. And they would. They would laugh, but some of them would come back.
Hey, I do that too. I go, like, when it's Matt and Skeet and Nev, and the three of them are, like, in the power trio. I'll be on the fourth, and I'll be like, my line will be a little light, and I'll be like, going on a business sale. You know, I'll do all that type of shit.
It's all good.
But it's amazing.
It's the biggest, listen.
It's incredible.
It's the, especially Lillard, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he's
he will sit
the king.
There and do, okay, Scarefest in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky.
Which was one of my best cons ever.
60,000 people came in through this year. They had seven Leatherface.
He probably saw. He probably saw 58,000 of them.
He did 500 photo ops.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I think the most I've ever done was 75 at Horror Hound in Cincinnati, and I was tickled pink.
Yeah,
do
wow.
75 costume photo ops.
Wow.
But Lillard, who's doing 500.
Yeah, that's
you know.
He's doing
I mean, that's
fantastic.
That's a huge thing. But he's just like you are, and just like I am. We're good to the fans. Doesn't matter if there's. If it's you got to stay a couple extra hours over the time, you do it.
I'll stay as long as to the end. He'll stay until past midnight.
Of course,
100%. Because I can't speak for anyone else, but we know that the fans are, they're so into it.
Yeah,
and it's a blessing. Like these people it's so crazy. Like I tell people. What I made for Scream was great in 1996. Hell, it'd be great now. My first residual was double, okay, which was insane, okay? And then the residuals throughout life have been awesome.
Sure.
But what the cons bring is immensely insane. Like, and it's just getting bigger. There are things like that shirt, the people, the fandom. There are people that are older than me, that are a little younger than me, and then their kids. There's three generations, and they literally share and this together, and it's not going away.
100%. Like there are hundreds, if not a thousand, there's cons all over the place. There's horror stores
Yeah,
that are open 300. It's not just hey, we're open during Halloween. 365.
And you think okay, well, like so, I go to Universal this year.
Yeah, Universal you know, Horror Nights.
Yeah, so you know my buddy John Donahue.
Yes,
Johnny Day. Yeah, you know him. You and Doug and all of it, and then Derek, because there's a mix between actors, stunt actors, all of it.
Sure.
So John, who's done a ton of my movies, he goes and helps set up the new haunts. And I think he was one of the big people for, I think, that big company. And he was doing the new Monsters one. You know the one, the Legends of Horror?
Sure.
So it's Dracula, Frankenstein, all the shit. Yeah, you know John because he was in bits with you. That is now going to be 365 day in Vegas. Yeah, do you know that?
Yeah, it's good.
I don't think it will get boring. I think it will be like Knott's Berry Farm. There are people that literally just live the horror lifestyle.
Not Scary Farm, right? They do that every year.
But they do that every year. But someone was telling me at Universal how big Horror Nights is.
It's huge.
No, dude, it may rival the tram. So the big argument with the big secret with the Universal is the tram. So when I would film there, and I filmed many things from Bowfinger to Ghost was...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bird of many things in the lot. Like, I have my own parking spot. Like, I feel very honored. And no matter where you were, from top down, and it started with Lou Wasserman, every time we got a production note, whatever production on, when you see the tram, you stop and you wave.
Yeah, of course.
Literally, bro, that was a law. From what commercial, web series, to the Wolf, whatever it is, you had to wave. And you are a living part of the park. And if you're a production, if the tram needs to go through, they stop production. And then we figured it out. It's like hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Sure.
More.
I used to do it as a kid. We'd go. My mom and dad would take me. Then when I got old enough and I, you know, maybe I'd take a date and we go there. And
but now, yes, Horror Nights is that. So
huge. And they had to, you know, this year, when that 2024 was the 50th anniversary of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So it was a big deal. You know, it was a huge deal.
What other big horror movies have you done, if any?
I did The Crazies.
That's probably Timothy has a Oliphant. Big following.
That was a remake, a good one. I've done a movie called John Dies at the End with one of my favorite directors of all time, Don Coscarelli, who created Phantasm.
Okay.
That movie, Buffy and Angel. I've done a lot of stuff under makeup.
Yeah.
It's tough. Doing creature work, as we call it. Do you know Doug Jones?
He was in the Academy Award winning movie.
That's right.
He was the fish man.
Yeah, he was the fish
man. He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, he's on great. Star Trek right now.
Yeah.
But Doug is a guy who's been under
Heavy prosthetics.
And sometimes he'll show you he's doing his yoga. He's got a personal trainer. It's just as hard. The two hardest things in the business are stunt guys and the creature guys work. It's tough. I don't know why there's not an Academy Award for the stunt guys yet. Still, it's just a
100%
mind-boggling,
dude,
to me that they haven't been, because we wouldn't be able to listen. If my stunt guy would have been there that day on the set, I would have finished that movie because I wouldn't have done that dragon. But for some reason, he wasn't there.
You're a double dipper.
Yes.
Because to me, you are a stunt guy.
Yeah, I'll do up to a certain point, yeah.
It's so fascinating you say that because, like, Johnny does all my stunts, and then there's stunts I want to do, and I know he'll do them better, but also the studio won't allow you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then even for him, if it's something super specialized, like a wire work, he might have to get a third guy. You know what I mean? Or a driver.
Yeah, it's very, very...
Or a fire. Yeah. There's different categories within stunts.
If you are the main part of that movie and you are the face on that movie, unless you are Tom Cruise,
yeah,
they're not going to let you
Who demands it? But what's great about the cons is now they're a lot of stunt guys are coming in and getting the credit.
Yeah.
And people are going, oh my God. Like, so the actor, we portrayed it and it was this, but oh my God, you were the
Lee Waddell is the prime example of that.
100%.
He's done a lot of movies.
Yes.
He's done a lot of TV stuff.
Yes.
But you know where right now? He's a big deal, and he gets it.
He's the original Ghostface, the first Ghostface in the costume, and a killer.
They coined that thing so well.
I know, and you know what? But then, like, there's obviously a lot of different Ghostfaces, and Matt and Skeeter, the originals.
And there's a lot.
And then there's Roger, who's the voice.
Yeah.
But Lee is the body of it underneath that suit.
That's right. And but there's other guys that have done the stunt work too in the different movies.
Yes.
They're casting Scream 7 right now.
Are you saying you want to be in it?
Are you kidding me?
But you know what's funny, bro? I have to say this, but Randy did most of his own stunts. I think. I don't know. I got shot. That was me.
Squib,
I want this out
there.
Nice. That was a squib. And then I got killed. That was me.
Yeah.
And then the blood, we did one was less. And then, so Wes had it. And I go, Wes, why don't you just go gory? Because Wes is, you know, a nuanced artist, you know, in his psychotic realm. So I was like, he's like, you want to go for it? And I was like, yeah. So I think we did one with less blood. And then I'm like, let's go. And they did it. And it's bloody as hell. And he's like, I like it.
Gore sells.
Yeah. And it was like up to see Randy. Now, is he dead? You know, it's up to you to decide. No one saw him get killed.
Oh, it's great. You know, I remember the first time I ever got shot on a TV show. And I was like, they're like, I said, no. I don't want some stunt guy doing it. Let me do it. I can do it. I did a full burn. And the crazies, I do a full burn. Right? So this is a great story. They come to me and they didn't like my stunt guy for some reason. He was a new guy. I actually knew him because I used to go up acting with him. So I kind of felt bad when they came up and said, hey, have you ever done a burn? Now, I came from the world in Hollywood where you say yes to everything. You don't say no, because if you say no, they're going to find someone else that'll say yes and you don't get the gig. So they came up to me like the last week of filming The Crazies in Atlanta, and I have a big fight scene with Timothy Olyphant underneath this truck bay where they do oil changes for trucks, and it's not very big. And the whole thing is I'm beating the crap out of Timothy Olyphant, who was a great guy to work with, by the way.
Yeah,
and,
he's awesome.
His stunt guy was even better because I had to do a lot of crap with this stunt guy, you know, and they didn't like my stunt guy. So they said, hey, you're doing a furl, but you've done a burn before. And I said, yeah. And then my buddy, Chris Carnell, who was a great stunt guy, and he was also an actor, my bloody Valentine 3D, he plays the miner. And he comes to me, goes, you ever done a burn before? I said, well, I did a burn on my hand once. He's like, that's not what he's asking.
Yeah.
And he goes, so he had he's not with us. He passed away a couple of years ago in a motorcycle accident, so I can tell the story. And he looks at me, goes, so he had 30 seconds to think about whether or not he's going to say he doesn't know what he's doing. And he goes, okay, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. So just listen to me real quick, because the fire expert guy is going to come over here. And we had to put the goop on. I had to put the thermals underneath with the goop. I had to put the goop on my thing. And we did a 3/4 burn, which goes all the way up to the back of my neck, and it comes up here. And they said, by the way, don't look down. Of course, I looked down and singed my eyebrows.
Dude.
But then I had to do a full burn, you know, and I did have one full burn. And that's great because, you know, you're only holding your breath, let's say, for 20 seconds.
That's crazy to
but
let you
that
do
20
that.
Seconds when you're on fire, it may have been 13 seconds, but it feels like you're, you know, 20 minutes. You're just like, can I hold my breath? And it's only been 13 seconds. But I did it, and then I felt bad because I'm like, well, how much? Because I got a bump. I got a stunt bump. I think I got a $3,000 stunt bump.
Think about that, guys.
You know, so
you do
bad.
That because you want the bump.
Of course I want. Well, I also wanted to be.
And the
I
guy
wanted,
on fire.
I wanted to be lit on fire.
Yeah.
Now, would I do it today?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I was young and full of vinegar in 2010. Now I'm a little bit older.
Yeah.
So
okay, when you before you were acting, when you were doing your bouncing.
Yeah. Early, 17 years old, working in Hollywood.
But what was the guy that you worked with up in Laurel Canyon? What was that story?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so my first club I ever worked was called the Seven Seas. We called it the Seven Sleas. It was a club on Hollywood Boulevard.
And what?
Hollywood and just west of La Brea. It then became Club Hollywood, but it was in the front side on the
west of La Brea? There's nothing. There's little clubs down there.
Not west of La Brea. West of Highland.
Yeah, so it's in
east of La Brea. Just east of La Brea. Maybe half a block.
Gosh, you know, I know.
You know where the
where that Buffalo Bob's where that Wings is now.
Oh yeah, where I know that Wings building is. 100%.
Garden of Eden was in the club there now. Right around the corner from the Thai spot.
Yes, there was a Garden of Eden in the valley.
So go ahead.
So I'm 17 years old. I went to see, they had a band playing one night, and I went to see them, and they wouldn't let me in because I didn't have ID. And then there was a big white guy at the front door, bouncer, and a convict, too. Later on, I found out he was just that fresh out of jail. And I said, man, I'd love to work here. And he goes, can't work here, not even 18 yet. He said, you want to work the parking lot? I was like, what do you mean work? You got to keep people out of the parking lot. Holy crap, man. There was so many drug addicts and so many crazy pimps and stuff going on in the parking lot. But I started working there. Now, the guy that owned that place was called Eddie Nash. Eddie Nash had just, I was there about a year. He had just gotten out of prison for something. And he used to come around in a limo with these two giant 7-foot bodyguards. And when he came around, everybody was like, you know, didn't say anything. So I didn't really know. I just knew he had a lot of stuff. I think he owned the Starwood, which was a very, very famous place in the Hollywood scene for years.
Yeah.
Before me. I heard about it, but I never got to go there because I was way too young. And then, you know, there was a whole deal called the Wonderland Murders where John Holmes, the star, was involved in it a little bit and people got killed. And later on, they did a movie called Wonderland about it. And I had no idea. So Eddie Nash, who I was working for at that club, was involved in those murders. And they got him 20 years later and put him in prison for the rest of his life.
Is he still in prison?
I don't know if he's even alive anymore.
So wait, what was the deal with the murders?
Well, I think it had to do with cocaine. And if you watch the movie, I think, I don't know.
So is the Boogie Nights?
No, that's different.
That scene with
is there a scene where they
go and they do cocaine and the guy's got a gun? Was that based off of John Holmes?
That might be,
because I remember the movie Wonderland.
Yeah, that might be. There might be a little piece of it.
So people got killed because of a bad drug deal.
I think someone went to go rob them and they rob Eddie Nash or the other guy or whoever was there.
And how many people got killed?
I think like 3 people got wasted.
There's the scene in Boogie Nights, and I forgot the actor. I just know it's John C. Reilly and Mark Wahlberg, but the other great actor who's awesome in it.
Oh,
yes, I know. He was in Spider-Man. He's a legend.
Oh, God.
But he was shooting his gun.
Yeah.
Maybe that was also...
That could be something similar to it. But yeah, the one, if you watch Wonderland, I believe Val Kilmer's in that. And
But John Holmes was doing coke.
Something. He was at the house, or he knew what happened, and... Wonderland's a good movie. You'd have to go watch it.
I have to watch it.
I may have to watch it again myself just to... But yeah, so that was my first...
You worked with him, but that was before that happened.
I worked with him, but well, I'm trying to say it might have happened before that, but they never could pin it on him until 20 years later. But this was the thing. 17 years old, I used to take... when I was 15 years old, I was taking buses from the Valley to go see punk shows, whether it was the Café de Grand, which was a famous punk club in Hollywood, or go down to the Cuckoo's Nest in Orange County to watch punk shows. And I'm 17 years old now. I'm working this bar, which is, you know, I probably shouldn't have been. I just saw stuff. I was like, wow, 17 years old. You're from the Valley. You never see this stuff. Valley Girl. If you ever watch Valley Girl, amazing. What a great movie.
And 100% accurate.
100% accurate.
Documentary.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. It brought us Nicolas Cage. And he was so good in it.
But Frank Zappa, Moon.
Come on.
All of them.
It was such a good movie, but that's how I grew up, right? So I'm this kid from the Valley taking a bus to go to Hollywood and mingling with all these punk rockers. But on the second and third floor above the Seven Seas, they were filming there. So sometimes I would get a ride.
What year was this?
Oh, gosh.
84.
17 years old. So
no, 82.
I graduated in 86 from high school, kind of. I graduated in a month at some private school.
So they're filming where?
So 85, 84, on the second and third floor above in this building where the Seven Seas was on the bottom floor. But some of the guys, I would get a ride from one of the other bouncers there, and he goes, hold on. They'd go up there and have shots and sit there and watch while these guys were filming scenes. Guys, girls, little people, didn't matter. There was all, and I was like 17 years old going, holy crap.
Yeah, you might not want to say that. You were 17.
That's
watching
fine.
This.
That was.
They're gonna
so
come back
ago.
In retro.
It's so long. I was watching. I wasn't so participating.
You got
I learned,
firsthand
I grew up
knowledge.
Quickly. Yeah, I grew up quickly.
And then, they were professional shoots.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, yeah. Who these people? You know, whether they were young kids on the run or homeless, and there was people up there filming that probably shouldn't have been. But
well, hopefully
that
not.
Was Hollywood. You know, I mean, Hollywood. There was something going on in Hollywood every night. We used to hang out at Okie Dog. I don't know if you ever ate at Okie Dog. There was an Okie Dog on Sunset.
Okie Dog, I love it now. It was on Vine. There's
yeah,
a lot of
so,
Okie
so
Dogs.
So the one on Vine. So Okie Dog, when you lived in Hollywood, right? So I was living in Hollywood. At 18, I moved and I was living. My dad said, if you're not in college, you got to get out of the house. And so I'm like, okay, I'm working bars. I can make enough money. I'm making
How
like,
could you bounce at 17?
Well, because you did.
The thing is that laws were so loose.
Yeah, well, there was no laws.
They didn't care.
I got paid cash.
You got paid cash. You're 17, working in a place that's 21 and above.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
working in a place that was rough.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
but you're a big guy and you can handle yourself.
Well, I mean, I could handle myself, but, you know, you grew up quick working the bars and the whole scene in Hollywood. But, you know, Okie Dog, if you've never been to Okie Dog, folks, I keep looking to the camera.
There's nobody here.
I know, I keep doing
you're
that.
You're not in a arena.
I keep doing it.
Stop
but
it.
Hey folks.
Hey folks.
If you
just you and me.
Okie Dog is a tortilla a burrito
tortilla
wrap,
joint.
Burrito, right? With two hot dogs.
Yeah.
Pastrami.
Yeah.
And chili.
It's a great piece
you,
of food.
And it used to be cheap, so for 3 and you would get a mound of fries. So for $3 when you're making $50 a night as a bouncer.
It's sustenance. Two of those a day, $6
oh my
and you're
God.
Golden.
But you struck gold. You
Okie,
struck oil.
Oh, you go to the Okie hole
yeah,
afterwards.
Yeah, you would 100%.
Fuck.
It might be for days. If I went now, I would probably be in the hospital.
Okie's still with us.
He is.
Yeah, but that's yeah. Like, there was a few of them around.
Yeah, but the one on Vine is still there, but I believe.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's not $3 anymore.
No.
But I'm you sure will hit that oil thing within
for
an
sure.
hour. Within an hour.
So wait, so you worked at Jones's.
Yeah, I worked at Jones. So I started working at Smalls, Sean McPherson and John Seidel.
What's Smalls?
Smalls was across from Astro Burger by Paramount on Melrose.
Oh, I remember that.
It was one of the first bars that didn't have, there's no name.
What year was that? I remember when I got famous, that was like a real sneaky spot. And I wanted
86?
Oh, no.
I was probably working there 86.
There was a, that place
it
became.
It went on for a while.
That place became the birth of the Pussycat Dolls.
It became.
Because Carmen Electra did shows
yeah, they
there.
Did.
I'm pretty
what do you
sure.
call that? Burlesque afterwards.
Yes.
But Smalls is one of the first. Listen, here's a good story.
And the Pussycat Dolls came out of that.
Oh, yeah. Here's go a good ahead. Story. So Drew Barrymore. I used to have a crush on Drew, but she was.
Still do.
She was still underage.
Okay, that's not, you don't
so
want to
I'm
say
like,
that.
You know, well, no, she was under 21.
Okay.
So I wasn't supposed to let her in the bar.
Above 18.
Yes.
Okay, got
couldn't,
it.
I shouldn't have let, yeah, she was
above 18, under 21. 100%. That's
under
what you
21.
Meant by
yes,
underage.
That's what I meant. So
make sure.
I had a crush on her. She would come sometimes, and she was dating the drummer from Hole.
This is a weird story. She would come sometimes, meaning come to the bar.
Come to the bar,
okay,
yes.
And she was
dating
Hole.
The drummer from Hole. Courtney okay. Love's drummer in her band called Hole.
Okay.
And they had an argument one night inside.
All right.
And Drew's coming out, and she starts peeling off her clothes.
No, she doesn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
She has a nice talk show now.
Yeah, she does.
Go easy on this.
I'm going easy.
Okay.
This is a long time ago.
Okay.
She's
go
probably
ahead.
18.
Okay.
But she's taking her clothes, and she's taking her top off and running down the street. Well, a sheriff pulls over, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Wait, you're bouncing.
Yes.
She's dating Hole. They're having an ups. They're having a fight.
Yeah.
It's sort of the fight. She starts disrobing.
She
why?
She comes out and is angry and starts disrobing and walking down the street.
Okay.
And a sheriff pulls over and he goes, you know, and his name happened to be Drew. So they have this in common. He goes, and he knew who she was. And he goes, listen, where's your shirt? Put it back on. And after 20 minutes, he let her go, you know.
Okay.
She gave him a kiss on the cheek and let him go. But I was like,
took
holy crap.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
So wait,
yeah.
Where's your shirt?
Here's your shirt. Kiss on the cheek. Go back inside. Don't take your clothes off.
And we never heard of it.
Yeah, well,
it never hit the press.
No, of
until
not.
Now.
Until now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so then I moved from there. I worked another bar for them, Good Luck Bar,
yeah.
Which was pretty good on Hillhurst over there. And then Jones opened up, and they asked me to come work at Jones. You know, now Jones was a more, you know. A lot of stars would come to Jones. you had to have a line. You had to pick people to come in, which I never liked. But Jones was a great place to work. Great food, great owners. Keith McCarthy. I don't know if you know Keith. Keith.
No, but it's a great spot.
Great spot. So one night, I'm just going to, and
you don't have to name drop the owners.
I'll name drop.
You don't have to name drop the owners like you want to go back.
No, no, no. They're great guys.
Great guys.
What's his name that did the top? Bill Maher. So Bill Maher is in his heyday on HBO. Huge show.
He's still in his heyday.
He's still in his heyday. But Bill Maher, and I like him a lot more now that he's mellowed out. Bill Maher is there. The girl at the front counter is like, you know, Bill's got an 8:30 a dinner reservation. And he's there with three people. And he's with Kate O'Kalin.
Okay.
And Kate. I'm like, okay. And then he starts giving her a hard time. Do you know who I am?
Bill does?
Yeah, Bill. Because I want my table. It's 7:30. She goes, your table's not till 8:30. I'm sorry. He's giving her a hard time.
He said the D-Y-D-U-K-M?
Yes.
Do you know who I am? He did not say that.
He did.
Right. Dude, that's a bad cliche.
Right in front of me. And he kept saying a couple other things. And I said, I know who you are. And I tell you right now, you're not coming in here. So get out of here. Now, he gave me a little grief. Kate O'Kalin. I'm like, take Kate O'Kalin with you, too. Now, Kate O'Kalin, that was all at the time of the... That was all at the time when he was, you know, on the news with O.J. Simpson. And then I was just like, I cannot believe that Bill Maher is hanging out with Kate O'Kalin. Anyways, that's my story.
Well, wait.
I like Bill Maher now.
Hollywood is like that. That's sure. When I learned that people hang with anybody that you're like, oh, I didn't know this person hang with this person.
Sure.
Hold on. So Bill said, do you know who I am?
Yes.
And then you said, what did you really say? You said, I know who you are.
I know who you are, and you're leaving. Now, listen, my manager, we had one of the greatest managers in the world there, and he backed me. He backed his doorman 100, which doesn't happen all
the time. No, I mean, because this is, I tell people, Vegas's currency is gamblers, New York's currency is socialites,
sure,
and bankers, LA's currency is fame.
Yes.
So you're never supposed to go against fame, but there's a point when someone's being a piece of, you know, of not a good person.
Yeah. Now, if he would have said something,
he could have been humbler.
He could have been. Well,
the fact that shows you that your guy was a great guy.
Yeah,
your manager, but B also that club was so hot at the time they didn't need Bill in there.
No, they didn't need Bill.
So you said, "I know who you are," and you're. He literally said, "Do you know who I am?" Be honest.
Yes, 100%.
Wait,
I remember to the listen.
This is a wrestling term meaning no bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Actually, that's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Am I surprised? No, I love Bill, but. Bill should admit that.
Yeah, that was a long time
ago. We can all have douchebag moments.
Of course, and we all do.
And by the way, Bill's a big toker, so the fact that he got mad, the weed doesn't make you do that. So, wait, so then he was with Kato. Kato probably didn't say anything.
Kato didn't say a word.
Kato's chill. Kato's just happy to be there.
He was just very happy to be there.
So then he says that. Does he curse at you? Does Bill curse at you?
He says a couple. I couldn't remember what he said, but I know that I belly pushed everybody out the door. I mean, you're 350 pounds. You just got to move a little bit.
Yeah, you move, and you're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
Hands up.
Hey, and let me. So Jones was such a good place to work. I'm going to tell you another one that the guy used to come in. He's not with us anymore. Chris Farley.
God bless his soul.
Great guy.
Amazing.
Just an amazing guy. And he would come up. And
sweet man.
Very sweet guy. He would come quite a bit to the bar. And
this is mid '90s, early '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But one night he comes and he's coming with these two hookers who I know they're hookers.
Good. Are you looking. Sure?
100%.
Don't speak ill of the
I'm
dead.
Not speaking ill. I'm not speaking ill. This is not ill.
Ladies of the evening. Possible, okay. Possibly hook.
No, they were ladies of the evening.
Okay, go
so,
ahead.
So, and they were expensive, but they were good looking, and I knew, and he goes, hey, how you doing? He gets him in there, gets a table, comes back out because he says, you're a big guy like me. What kind of, he likes my tennis shoes. And he's talking to me about tennis shoes. I'm like, man, you got two good looking girls in a second. He's like, no, let's shoot the shiznit about your tennis shoes.
Okay.
Just a good dude.
So he came in with potentials.
Yes.
How do you know they weren't his friends?
Well, they were his friends, but I knew who they were.
So you're saying they had made the rounds.
I knew who they were. Now, whether or not they were just hanging out with them,
yeah,
to hang out with them, that's a possibility.
Why
but I
not?
Knew who they were. Here's another. So those same two girls, a couple years later, because they would come in time to time, two girls with some other celebs or people that had money,
mm-hmm.
They'd come in. The Formosa Cafe's across the street.
Great spot.
LA Confidential, they filmed there.
Yeah.
And they come across, some guy's coming across the street.
Great
and
line,
I can tell he's drunk, and he's with these two girls.
Yeah.
And he's not a very big guy. And I was in a bad mood that night. And I said, and he says, we want to come in and get some dinner. I said, no. I said, you're drunk. Can't come in. And the girls are all come on. I said, don't get me started, ladies. Don't get me started now. You're not coming in. And I remember he said something, and I said, you know, and before I could get the U out, he threw a left and a right and clocked me in the middle of the door. And I slumped against the wall. And to his credit, I was stunned, you know. To his credit, he did not, you know, come in for the kill. And I was slumped up against the wall right behind me, the door of Jones. And then he walked away. But he's with those same two girls. Now, I saw that guy years later. I want to say I saw him at...
He suckered you.
No, he didn't sucker me. I said he was drunk.
Who clocked you?
He did.
Who is the person's name?
I don't remember what his name
was. So he was a big guy?
No, he was a little guy.
But he clocked you.
Oh, clocked me.
And he got you good.
Got me really good.
He clocked you twice.
Yes.
You were stunned.
Yes.
And he left with the two pros.
Yes.
Supposed pros.
They were pros. But yes. Yes, walked back across the Formosa. Now, it took me maybe
Sorry. I'm not familiar with your game. That's kind of a pimp move.
It's a great pimp move.
Take you down.
Now, years later, I'm at a bar, and I want to say it was the Burgundy Room, maybe. Not the Burgundy Room. Maybe it was the Burgundy Room. And I'm sitting there, and I see a guy staring at me. And when I go to bars, not so much anymore because I don't look the same. But back in the day, if I went to a bar like a police officer, I'd sit in the back because I don't know who I've thrown out of a bar, you know, over 15 years. And I see a guy staring at me, and I'm like, well, this is going to be awkward. So I go over, and I go, how you doing? I said, do we know each other? And he goes, you don't remember me? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I said, let me apologize. He goes, no, let me apologize. I said, this is the guy that clocked me. And
why would you apologize?
Because I did say I was in a bad mood. Okay. I could have handled it differently. And I said, you. I couldn't even get the you out before he clocked me. And I said, by the way, what do you do? He's like, oh, I teach actors how to box. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
So he was a pro.
He was a pro.
That's not fair.
Not really. Not really.
Any idea where those two women are?
No.
They probably have a
They'd be my age now, so I don't know if they're still in the business.
Well, there's a circuit that they could go for. It's called GILF.
Oh, there is GILF. That's right. GILF.
They're probably in a one-bedroom, one-bath in Reseda.
You know. Well, they could be. Well, there's nothing wrong with Reseda now.
I don't hate on it.
It's 818. So I did a lot of bad things in Reseda.
Well, are you snitching on yourself?
Yeah, sure.
There is something. Is this true that doormen do get drunk with power, some of them?
100%.
So there are times when I've been to award shows, and I really try not to be an asshole. And whether it's me, like Mimi, or me with a group, Mimi is like when I'm all dressed up and I look like myself. But
sure.
When I don't look like myself, I don't expect anyone to know who I am. Even if when I do look like myself, I don't expect anyone.
Sure.
But going to industry events, they should know, especially if you're on the list. So there have been times where people break protocol, like, what's up, Jamie? And you're right, to go through all the bullshit. And there's other times where they hard hat you a little bit. But there's one guy in town in the clubs when I was going to clubs all the time. You probably know him. I don't know him. This guy was the biggest hardo. He was a huge hardo. Okay. And I saw this guy everywhere. I wish I had a picture of him. And there's a restaurant called Rayo's.
Yeah.
Which was very rare to have in LA. It used to be a club. And this guy would not let me in. Now, I never pulled, you know, do you know how I am or whatever. But I'm like, come on, dude. My friend's in there and all stuff. He would not let me in. I'll never forget this. And I was just reminded of this story through my cousin because she was there. I go in. And I hate when you go in and like we're at capacity, fire mark, all this shit. And I'm like looking in and I'm not. So I guess Matt Damon was in there, but this was just right after when he wasn't Matt Damon yet, but he was Good Will Hunting just about dropped and he was already hot. The guy would not let me in. I said, you're not going to let me in? He said, no. He goes, I go, not at all. He goes, not only am I not going to let you in the night, I'm not going to let you in ever again.
Oh.
So I said, okay, let's see if I get in. He goes, what do you mean, see if I get in? I go, see if I get in. So I go around back, I go to the alley. There's a video of this somewhere. And I shimmy up the drain pipe. Not like the shit drain pipe, like the hard type. I go three stories up. I go in. I go through the roof. I go all the way through. And I go in. And I sit down next to Matt Damon and his producing partner. I meet my buddy in there. His buddy's over there. His producing partner says, what's up, man? How are you? He introduced me to Matt. Matt was so sweet. I go. I have two drinks. I talk to a couple chicks. My buddy comes. We leave with two girls. As soon as the bouncer's there, he's looking at me and I go. And then I ran because the guy wanted to kill me.
Sure.
And they're like, let him go. That's Jamie Kennedy. He's being funny, whatever. The guy was so mad. It was one of the greatest gets of my life, dude. I put it up there with having my name in the man's Chinese.
Oh, that's pretty big, though.
I mean, come on, bro. It
is.
That's
pretty big.
But this guy, and I still see this guy to this day. There's barely any clubs. I mean, he's great at what he does, but it's like, dude, know the audience.
Yeah, it's
I'm not an asshole.
I used to work
at Vertigo. I'm not going to hurt Matt.
I used to work at Vertigo in downtown LA.
What is that?
That was a huge club, huge nightclub at a restaurant. You know, we would have 3,000 people a night in there, you know, and it was a big celebrity thing. And if you were lucky enough to work the front door, they had to pick and choose who comes in because you had to keep it. You couldn't just have, as we say in the wrestling business, jabronis. Now, I hated doing that.
What does jabroni mean? Because I always know it just means like douchebag.
Jabroni. He's a jabroni. The Rock uses it. A few other people used it as, he's a jabroni. Just like, if you're a mark,
yeah.
You know, you're a super fan. You're like a mark. It comes from the old carnival term.
Yes.
The carnival days with carnies. And
mark means you believe everything.
If you had a sucker, they put a mark on your back and they put something. So back in the day, the carnies would know, hey, come on up here, buddy. Hey, look at you. Come on. Here's a ball. Hit three balls. So they knew you were a mark.
Yes.
In wrestling, it means you're a super fan. I've been a mark for the business since I was a kid.
But you know what's up, but you're a self-admitted mark.
Of course. 100%. Self-admitted mark. That's a good title for a book.
Right?
Can I take that?
Take it.
I'll take that. It might be better than Leatherface for a week, which I was going to do.
I like that one, too.
But jabroni, yeah, it's just like a douchebag.
Yeah, he shouldn't be there. I get it. He shouldn't be the person there.
Jabroni.
So these jabronis come in.
But you would get those folks, and then you'd have to say, hey, you can't come in. Or, you know, then if they were dressed all good enough, and if it's a doorman. Sometimes I'd be at the top of the stairs, right? So there's two doors where the celebrities would come in and then where people would go pay to get in and go get their ID checked. And if the doorman would look at me, he'd go like this, you know, he may put up three fingers. He already made a deal, and those guys are going to come up and give me some money to get in because it's so busy. And I hated doing that.
Why would you hate that?
Well, I mean, I like making the money, but I felt bad that we had
money talks and bullshit smells like your upper lip.
And that's true.
Why not?
I know, but I just.
What do you get paid to do that? 50?
Per that place that busy?
No, a guy greases you.
50 a person.
Bring it in. Okay, good.
You know, three guys, $150, and then I would maybe get $30 out of that, and I give the rest to the doorman, and he, you know.
Okay, now the next question.
Yeah.
You. Rudest celebrity. Not that I'm like wanting to do this, but you already dropped some.
Oh gosh. I can tell you who it is.
I don't want to burn bridges, but
Hollywood is
everything's torched.
Oh gosh.
Is this diabetes or dementia?
It could be. I hope it's not
Jesus.
Diabetes.
I have the same thing.
Remember The Cat's Eye? Drew Barrymore's in it.
Yeah.
And
a lot of Drew talk.
I'm trying to think of the guy that's in it with her.
Cat's Eye. Who's the guy? Not Chris Sarandon.
No. Hollywood hates him.
Oh, God.
Hollywood just hates him right now.
Cat's Eye. Cat's Eye movie.
He's in El Salvador, too.
He's in El Salvador?
Yeah, just Cat's Eye cast.
Cat's Eye.
Cast.
Drew Barrymore is in this movie?
Yeah, she has a little part.
Okay, wait. Drew Barrymore, James Woods.
James Woods.
Why does Hollywood hate James Woods?
I don't know. They just don't like James Woods. So James comes in. I was a big fan of James Woods. I'm still a big fan.
Great
of
actor.
Woods. Great actor. Should be still working, although I don't. He doesn't. He comes in, and I would say, you know, Jones used to be able to. We had a smoking room, It's funny that back in the day, bars and clubs, restaurants, you could smoke in them. And then Santa Monica said, put a kibosh to that. So we had a little smoking room off to the side.
Yeah.
And then we had to get rid of the smoking room. And James would come over. He smoked cigars.
Yeah.
So he'd come up and I said, yeah, you know, I always tell him, you can't bring a cigar in, sir. He would take his, he took his cigar a couple different times and he would put it out on the door. And I'd be like, dude, I never said you're not coming in because it was James Woods. I would, it's different. You know, I was a big fan of his. So, but every time he would come and I'd be like, look at, and one time I said something to him, I said, you can't listen. This will be the third time if you put your cigar out on the door and I'm going to get a little angry.
And what happened?
He didn't. Put it out and put his foot over it and then came on in.
All right. So he was just a little, he pushed the limits.
Just a little douchey.
But he wasn't rude to you.
No, he wasn't. Well, I mean, that was his
That
way.
Wasn't a nice
that
thing
was his
to do.
Way of authority. I mean, there's been plenty of people that have been, you know, who used to, who, you know, who was really nice. I'll give you one good. George Clooney used to come in. So George Clooney, when he was filming From Dusk Till Dawn, so he had all these tattoos that would go up his neck. So it's George Clooney. Everybody knew who George Clooney at the time was.
Yep.
So people come up, buy him a shot or something. This is what George, when he had too much, he didn't want to say, I can't, you know, I'm sorry, man. I can't, I've had too much. He would take the shot, put it in his mouth and let it fall back into the glass and go, thank you, man. And people will be like, well, you know,
that's what? So sweet.
You know what? At least he, thank you.
That is sweet.
And I watched him do it one night and I was just like, man, that's pretty cool.
You know, it's fascinating. You just named two people, that I worked with one of them. George was always the greatest guy when I got to work with him on I did a movie, Three Kings, and he was a mentor.
Three Kings, that's right.
Yeah, he was the greatest. He was awesome. Just, you know, class act.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned James Woods.
Yes.
And I think George is a great actor. I think James Woods is a great actor.
Yes.
I never worked with James Woods. But it's fascinating now that to me, yeah, I'm much more with James Woods' politics than I am George's.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
And I don't know where you're at, but I think we're...
I'm in the... look at...
Don't be scared.
I'm not scared.
Don't be scared.
No, no,
I'm
no,
cutting.
No.
Don't be scared.
I'm not.
You're a leather face.
I'm not scared. I am a guy that wants... I'm 57 years old.
Yeah.
So I figure out how much longer am I going to live?
You're going to live a long... time. You look good. You dropped 25.
My wife, I'm going to drop more. My wife, you know, what's going to happen with my wife? What's going to happen with this country? So I would rather have some people that are running this country that, you know, are on the up and up for everybody. So I that's my only thing. I just hope that we have the right people that eventually think about you and I and the rest of the
terrible world. Answer. Be honest. Are you scared?
I'm down the middle.
But you're not
anymore.
But
more to your side.
Here's the thing is, am I that crazy online when
no.
I talk about
it? You're common sense.
Yes.
So this is the whole
people
thing.
People think I'm this crazy right winger.
No, absolutely not.
I'm arranging coffee at Proud Boys meetings.
Oh my God.
Like, I love George.
No.
But I'll say it to your face.
No.
No fool, no, and not everybody should be. I don't think anybody should.
Yeah. No, I had to, I did a.
I can't say. Nobody should get the beep.
Yes.
And.
Yeah. I had to
I'm
get
sorry
it.
When I'm sorry. Sean Penn's yeah. telling people it's the equivalent of pointing a loaded gun on your head on your face. I would love to sit with him.
Yeah,
and I have to separate the legend from the human.
Boy, I would love to see you and him. And
wouldn't
and
it be cool?
That would be awesome.
But here's the problem with this bullshit, dude, is because people are gonna think, oh, he's beneath me, right? So then I have to become big enough to then cuck them in. But it's not a cuck. It's just really if you want to ingratiate yourself, but they don't need to. You know, if you got 200 million, why sit with me? But that's what the world needs.
Of course.
Because I'm telling you, Hollywood's taking a hit. Of course, there's still huge hits. There's Wicked and different movies, but they're few and far between.
100%.
And adult movies are not working. I love George Clooney, the actor. I like him as a person too. I love Brad Pitt, you know, but I don't know if anyone's talking about the movie Wolves. No disrespect.
Yeah.
I think they probably both got a quarter each, 25, to do a web movie. Let's just be real. Stop me when I lie. You're being quiet, but Hollywood's rap, buddy.
No, it is. It's bad. It is.
And I don't like people telling the general pop what's up, because the general pop is what makes us survive.
I've always been, you know, when was it Ricky Gervais was on there saying, listen,
the man,
come up,
go
take
to
your
up.
Award,
yeah.
And don't tell anybody about what you want. These people don't want to hear you. And I'm just saying, look,
100%.
I've been acting for 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you my, I'm not going to sit there and preach to you about anything. Unless you're smacking your wife, your woman around, or you're doing something dumb, I'm not going to preach to you.
Yeah,
I can barely run my own life, so I don't need somebody else out there because they're famous.
Who's living in a gated community?
Who's living in a gate? Who has security guards? Who has nannies? I'm not going to listen to someone like that. You don't have the right to tell me how to live my life, and that's I've always been that way. My father was that way. My father brought me. So it's common sense, and this is a big thing that. Since we're talking the what's going on in the world right now, people don't have common sense anymore. My dad raised me and taught me, look, if that stove is on, you don't put your hand over the burner. It's common sense.
Bro, they do, but they're scared to look bad in front of their friends.
Yeah, well,
that's what I noticed this. Like,
it's true.
The reason why I started speaking out, and people were like, what? You changed so much. You've spoken. It's like, and it happened like 3.5 years ago. It's because I did, 4 years ago, because I did a movie. And just because this movie had a right leaning tilt, people just automatically put me in this box and wrote all these crazy articles about me. And I was like so furious. And I'm like, you haven't seen it yet. So they created me. They gave me an origin story because I'm minding my own business. And our sets. You're you, okay? And a huge star is a huge star, okay? We're all on the same set.
100%.
And I never knew anyone's politics. I never knew anyone's gender. I didn't know what the f*** they did as soon as that whistle blew or who they blew. And I didn't give a f***. And guess what? At parties, I hung with everybody. Black, white, gay, straight, Asian, Filipino, Indian, trans, not. They're all, we're in the game.
Yes.
And so everyone's acting like it's like the last people you need to worry about are people like us because we have been in it for 30 years and we get literally it's the scumbags that come in or they're all rich that think they can buy their way in the business. They're the people you have to watch out for. It's not the people that were literally came up as extras and all this stuff. And we were around every race, every creed, every sexuality, and it was never a big deal.
Yeah, I was raised that way, and I never saw color. I try not to. I don't try to. If you're an asshole or you're ignorant, you're an asshole and you're ignorant. It doesn't matter what race you are. I don't care what sexuality. I don't care. I don't care about that stuff. And I don't. And but I also don't want someone forcing it, telling me, well, that's what you are. No, that's not what I am. I'm just a guy. I'm married to a beautiful woman that loves me. I have a dog. I have some friends like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep to myself. I ride my motorcycle, and I try to make a living, and I try not to hurt anybody.
I know.
And that's it. And that's my and I try to have common sense.
How left leaning has Hollywood become?
It's huge.
Insane.
Insane.
I think it's going to change because Trumpy got back in.
Well, I think it's already changed.
Yeah.
Because you can see box office. You can see people that normally would go see a movie. I mean, of course, COVID and everything else. And our strike didn't help at all with everything. I mean, it should have. Didn't really help. I'm hoping 2025, things mellow out. And people learn that, listen, we're entertainers. You're putting out a movie. You don't need to just put out the movie. Talk about the movie. You don't need to talk about anything else. You don't need to get on some pedestal and talk about stuff.
I think that they're told to do it.
Well, it's hurting them.
Well, it's not, though. It's like, I would love to sit with Mark Ruffalo.
I used to work with Mark.
Wow.
Mark used to be a bartender at Smalls.
Wow.
Yeah, Mark used to.
Wow.
And now he's a door guy.
Because he's such a great actor.
Tremendous.
I like literally you could call him our generation Brando-esque. He's that side of beef, hunk of beef, just naturally tough but emoting. Never a false moment. If that dude never did a voice or an inflection and he just played himself, to me there's three types of actors. And what makes a great actor? Never a False Moment, which is George Clooney. Like, I've never seen him say anything that I thought he was acting. Mark is like that. Then there's people that never have a false moment. Or then there's people that can do accents and characters, but maybe you can see the little work in there. And then there's both, and that's Daniel Day-Lewis. And I'm not saying who's literally, you know, he's 1-3 of best. I mean, that's, to me, the darkest subjects completely disappears in character, and it's, you know, real. And I'm not saying, I mean, George and Mark can probably do a lot of characters and accents too.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, from the work I know of Mark, he's so good.
Here's my story about Mark, right?
So, and I don't like that he's such a shill for the deep state.
He also does a water conservation deal.
Okay.
So he, I appreciate that he does. He's helping with folks with the water. I remember when Santa Barbara had a big water thing, we were talking about it one time.
Is it water?
Yeah, it was a big deal. It was an oil spill or something, something happened in.
Go ahead with your story.
Santa Barbara. So I got a commercial agent first, right?
Guy's trying to be a Hulk stand-in. Go with the story.
I would. I got a commercial agent pretty quick.
I love Mark.
I got a commercial
agent. Fuck you guys, trying to be the Hulk.
I was like 20 years old, got a commercial agent, or I was 19 or something. And I remember Mark, I said, Mark, I can bet you my agent can sign you. I'll get you a commercial agent. He goes, and he was doing plays. You know,
yeah.
And he goes, I think I'm going to stick with the plays, but I appreciate it. Well, he didn't do too bad. He did not do too bad.
That makes sense. Like, he was a guy, it seems like, I don't know enough about him, that would grind and, like, have, like, a Samuel French playing his back, and it was Danny in the Deep Blue Sea.
Samuel French.
Yeah, and he's, like, a guy that just walked the boards, and he just got, like, a Dustin Hoffman. Like, literally, like, just, Dustin grew up, went to Pasadena Playhouse, but his bones were made in New York.
Yeah.
And so I think that, I don't know enough about Mark, but he's that guy.
He is.
And he's so good.
Yeah, he is. We saw him.
And why those movies are so good is because they have real actors.
Yes. But, well, people think, you don't want to see, as you said, you don't want to see someone acting.
No, but
because you can tell when someone's acting.
100%. But I just hate. Well, listen, if it's going to cost you $50 million, play the game. I get it. But don't get angry. Because I get that he gets angry at people for not having belief of what his... Here's the whole thing with Trump, and I don't mean it, and I'll cut out anything you don't want.
We're good.
Dude, I tell this to everybody, I'm going to say it again. The winter upfronts, you know what the upfronts are?
Sure.
The winter TCAs over at the Huntington Library.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget. 2016, I'm there. I got a series on NBC. We're there doing press. And I want to say Trump was there. It was either this or another one. It's the biggest star, not in TV, just not on the network, on TV with The Apprentice. You couldn't get near him because everybody wanted to take a picture. He wasn't even, I don't even know if he announced the presidency. Maybe he, I don't think he, I think it was before he announced the presidency. I'm saying before this.
Yes.
Everyone loved him. The minute he decides, the same people don't like him.
Well,
weird.
Yeah, everybody was worried. I mean, like when he says, you know why? I know that the game is fixed because I've been fixing the game.
Brilliant.
When he said that on TV, I've been fixing the game, and everybody's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, for you and me, I hope, and I hope for all the kids that are growing up now, I hope that the people over the next 30, 40 years running our country really think about the American public and not think about filling their pockets. Because my dad was a stockbroker, right? And he was very successful at it. But if you even have a hint about insider trading, anything, you're done. Everybody in the House and in the Senate, they can all do insider trading and nothing happens. Martha Stewart does something, goes to jail for, you know, whatever, 2 months, whatever it is. But
just did a year and change.
So you can't, but other people that are in politics can do they can get tips and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that over the next 20, 30 years, something like that is disallowed and you won't find people, because people go into politics now, in my opinion, to get rich. You know, they cared about, when they were an assemblyman, they might have cared about their little part of Reseda or the Valley. They might have, but as they progressively move up, I don't think they care anymore because now they go, oh, wow, someone wants to put an apartment building in over here and I can make 10 grand by granting them a permit or I can do this and that. And then it keeps going up. But well, people are gonna get really tired of it. And people have been getting tired.
They are.
On both sides of the fence are getting tired of it. And I think, I just hope for, you know, I have nephews. I have two nephews. I have three nieces. I hope that for their sake that people get it together and we'll start caring about all of us.
It's a really nice leather face bow you put on everything.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm not worried about that as much as I am the next 15 days because it's a shit show out there. So I love the next 30 years, but I'm trying to get the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
Because it's nuts.
Listen, I'm just trying to get an audition for Scream 7.
If anybody's out there. You should. If you're anyone watching this, Kevin, he's the man.
Anything.
He's the man.
Two lines. Let's go.
You'd be a great ghost face. But you're so big, dude. That's too hard. Why not, though? It would be cool if you were a ghost face on the costume, and then they went back to Emma Roberts, and they're like, oh, it's her in the costume. Because how big. She was a little, I don't know if that costume in her, I love her, but it didn't seem like it matched size-wise. Listen, buddy, I think this is a great time to stop it.
Yes.
Promote whatever you want.
I got a couple movies coming out. Desert Fiends.
Okay.
And we're filming Desert Fiends 2 in April in Vegas.
And where does that come out at? Like Tubi?
That might be on Tubi.
Yeah.
Gravitas Films is putting it out, which we're excited about. You know, I'm still auditioning for stuff.
When's your next con?
My next con, thank you for asking, by the way.
Next couple
Albuquerque, New Mexico, coming up in 2 weeks. Going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico with Lee Waddell, Scott Innes, who is the voice of Scooby-Doo, and Shaggy and Scrappy-Doo in a few movies. And it's going to be big. Oh, Elvira's going to be there. Hey!
Legend.
Yeah.
Where can they find you? Got a website?
You can go to The Big Schwag. That's S-C-H-W-A-G on Instagram, or you can look up Lost Leatherface on Facebook, Brett Wagner. I'm easy to find.
You're a man, bro.
You are. Thank you, brother. You're the guy.
I appreciate you, buddy.
No, I appreciate you.
Guys.
Now, listen, if you see him at a con, one of the nicest guys in the world, and you know, and I appreciate it, he will come over and BS with us commoners.
You're not common.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just impressed.
I have a good time at Monster Row.
We do.
It's him. It's Jason. Yeah. It's Doug.
Felissa Rose.
Yeah, it's Felissa who's a vixen, not a monster.
No, but
And then that's another Leatherface. It's great.
Yeah, or Jason or Michael Myers. Anyways, yeah, come see us, folks.
Love you guys. Like, subscribe, go check him out. You're awesome, buddy.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.